Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Grant and Danny with you until 6:30 tonight. Overtime with Linnell Willingham begins right at 6:30, and he will keep you company until Nats pregame. Charlie Slows, Dave Jagler, first pitch slated for the 9 o'clock hour, close to 10 East time tonight. Nats are in San Diego to take on Juan Soto, Josh Bell, and the San Diego Padres. Get you set for that game before we get out of here in about 90 minutes. But right now, let's go to the BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter to beat the books. Download the BetQL app today. Visit BetQL.com. Our buddy Mike Jones of USA Today joins us now. Mike, you were in Ashburn last week, and then you were at Saturday's preseason opener for Washington against Carolina. So let's just start with your feel, your vibe for this team going into the season, year three under Rivera. What do you make of their chances to make the playoffs in the NFC East?
I feel like they've been, I know last year, they kind of backed into playoffs year before last. They didn't make playoffs last year. But I still feel like they are trending in the right direction. I think Carson Wentz, having him there, I know that, he has worn out his welcome with two franchises now. But really, he is the most talented quarterback that Washington has had in a long time. The things that he's able to do physically. Now, if Scott Turner and Ron Rivera can help him with the mental aspect and get his confidence back and get him back to the form that he was in 2018 when he was an MVP candidate, then Washington's chances really go up. Obviously, they've got questions at some areas. Can their defense play up to their potential? But I think that this team has a chance to be really competitive within their division, because there's really questions about every single team in this division here. So I think that, I'm not going to say that they're going to, win the division or make a run at the Super Bowl, but I think that 9 wins is definitely realistic for them.
What are you predicting for Carson Wentz?
I think that he's going to have a good year. I think he's going to be better than a lot of people expect. I don't know numbers-wise. I haven't thought that much into it. But from what I gather, when I sat down and talked to him, he's very comfortable. He's doing a better job of connecting with his teammates than what he did in previous places. He understands and he feels better about taking on a leadership role and finding ways to connect with guys. And so I think that all of that's going to add up. I thought he looked decent in that preseason game. He had time with the ball to throw. Again, it's only, 3 series, so it's hard to really make a huge judgment. But I think he's going to be solid. I think that, they're going to have a chance to win some games.
So, Mike, you're basically talking about, but they're a great couple. And then I'm saying, well, why did that guy cheat on the girl previously, right? And I'm not bringing it up to dog the guy, but I think that that's instructive to figure out if this can work. And what I mean is, what went wrong in Indy then? Philly, I kind of get and I've made sense of, and it was its own disaster, and the coach was run out of the building. There was a lot going on there. But was it as simple last year as the owner just couldn't stand him and they had maybe political and organizational and vaccine, you know, all kinds of just differences in philosophies, or was there more to it than that?
Yes, from everything I've been told, if Frank Reich had been able to make the call, Carson Wentz would still be in Indianapolis right now. And they felt like he can build on what he did last year. Look, he didn't have a bad year last year. Was it 27 touchdowns, 7 interceptions? They were competitive. They had a chance to make it to the playoffs. Yes, that last game where they needed to win, he didn't play well, but the rest of the team didn't play well either. But Frank Reich liked Carson Wentz still. It was Jim Irsay who was walking around at the combine telling anybody who, you know, crossed his path that he wanted to get rid of Carson Wentz. So that is a big reason why he is here. You know, and I just think that, yes, the Philly stuff, you know, like you said, you understand that stuff. That's behind them. That was, you know, in the NFL, that was a long time ago.
Where did Ballard come in? He's maybe the one that's most interesting to me, because I feel like Reich is a Carson Wentz mark through and through. He's going to see right. The best in him like a parent. I feel like Irsay just hated him no matter what he did. What about Ballard, right. Who's the football guy, I wonder?
Well, you know, that's really interesting there, and where he came in there. And I haven't really gotten a sense very much. But, again, I was told if Irsay was not involved, Carson Wentz would still be there. So that leads me to believe that Ballard was not opposed to, you know, trying to see what year two would have been like for him. Because, you know, again, he was solid in that first year back with Wright. And you expect that you're going to be able to build on that. But Jim Irsay is impatient and didn't like what he saw, didn't like the guy as much. Either. And so here we are, new city, new team.
Mike Jones with us here on G&D. So last Wentz one for me here, Mike. What about fit? Because, listen, the best argument for Carson Wentz working out here to me is that it has to, right? Both from the fact that the coaching staff and you know, Ron and his buddies, the Martys, didn't go all in on a quarterback for 3 years. This is where they finally put their chips in the middle. And then for Wentz, this is your last best chance to make something work in this league. So that, to me, is the best argument for. But what about schematically? What about design, fit, Scott Turner's offense? What's the vibe there?
Well, Scott Turner is willing to be very multiple in his offense and very creative and flexible. He's going to, you know, basically look, okay, what did Wentz do really well? And talk to Wentz about what do you like, what you don't like. You know, and talking to Carson, sounds like there's been a lot of back and forth and a lot of input and things like that. And he's not so married to his system that he's going to say, oh, well, you don't really like doing this, but that's okay because I like calling this. So this coaching staff knows they need to win. And any smart coaching staff knows you've got to play to your, you know, your athlete's strengths. And so that's why I think there's been that give and take. And you're going to see him, you know, they're going to be moving the pocket, him rolling out, using his legs, the extending plays, using his big arms. They want to take shots downfield. He's got a lot of talented guys to work with. It's a matter of if they can protect him, you know, this offensive line, can they give him time? And then, you know, what kind of support is he going to get from his defense? But when you look at the guys he has to throw with, he's got anything a quarterback could ask for. And Terry McLaurin, a lot of people around the league are really high on Dotson, expecting big things from him. And so, you know, we'll see what happens with Samuel. If he's healthy, that's another big weapon, and then they got to get their tight end figured out. But Wentz looked pretty comfortable in that offense on Saturday, and you would expect that it's going to trend upward.
Mike Jones is with us, USA Today, on Grant and Danny. Good to have him back on the program to break down the Commanders. You just mentioned this staff and how badly they need to win. Ron Rivera goes into his third year here. He is an exceedingly likable human being. Mm-hmm. I have genuinely enjoyed getting to know him a little bit and the limited opportunities I've had to by way of COVID over the last couple of years. But, Mike, the opinion of him around the country does not match the results. He has had 3 winning seasons in 11 years in the league, quite literally.
Right.
There's
right.
no one in history, to my knowledge, who's had a chance to coach a 12th year who's had 3 winning seasons in 11 years. That doesn't happen, and yet he's still ranked in the top 10 in, like, coaching rankings in some places. And if he got fired here in a year or two, he'd get another job. I guess my question to you is, where are we at on Rivera, the program, and just kind of coming out of Carolina several years now since he's had a winning season, is he the guy here?
You know, I don't really know the answer to that yet, because I'm like you. I'm kind of like, okay, yeah, he's a nice guy, well-respected around the league. I know that there were some years where Cam Newton was injured. But, you know, really, it's almost like he's riding those first several years in Carolina. But again, the relationships and how you treat people really goes a long way. I feel like he's got to win this year right here if he wants to remain here. I'm not saying he's absolutely getting fired, but the pressure is on. They know they've got to win. They've, you know, been kind of flirting with improvement, but we haven't really seen huge dramatic steps forward. It's maybe been a gradual build, but this year they've got to put it together. They can't, I don't think you can miss the playoffs. I don't think you can be, well, you can't be 500 anymore, but I don't think you can be, you know, 8-9 or, you know, 7-10. You know, that's close, but they really got to win this year because Dan Snyder, Jason Wright, they know that this franchise really has got to really make some strides forward because this fan base is dwindling pretty badly and they want a new stadium and everything like that. So the biggest way that you get all that stuff is by winning football games.
Well, speaking of reputations that don't necessarily match production, Chase Young, it looks like he's going to start the year on PUP. He still seems to be universally thought of as this game-wrecking, you know, Thanos-like figure that's got almost all the Infinity Stones in his glove there. And he didn't produce very much last year before getting hurt, Mike. Where are we at on him, just in terms of his standing in the league and what to expect from him this year?
Yeah, I mean, first he's got to be fully healthy and turn loose. But I agree with you. I mean, if you look at his numbers, if you took the names off of the stats and you had Montez Sweat and his numbers next to each other, you really wouldn't be able to tell much of a difference, right? And Montez Sweat was a first-round pick, but he wasn't number two overall pick. Chase Young is supposed to be, you know, one of the premier pass rushers, racking up double-digit sacks. And not, I'm not saying he's got to be Aaron Donald, but he's got to be the guy that offenses really circle and they fear. He's got to have J.J. Watt type of, T.J. Watt type of impact, and we haven't seen it yet. So everybody on this team has got a lot of pressure riding on them where it's like, okay, you've been talking a good talk and you've been kind of flirting with this here, but now it's time to come through because, you know, the hype from the draft and what you say at the podium and things like that only goes so far.
Mike, I'm going to sneak in one here, non-Commanders, because it's just too big of a story today. Deshaun Watson, 11-game suspension settlement between the Players Association and the NFL, and he's also going to pay a $5 million fine, which is about half of what he made by not playing last year when he wasn't suspended without pay. What'd you think of the decision?
I had been hearing that they were going to be reaching a settlement, but what I was thinking, that it was going to be around 12 games. For the longest time during these settlement talks, the NFL did not really want him playing in Houston. Now I think it's funny that, and so, you know, there was some pushback saying, okay, well, let's make it 10 games. So that way, you know, he plays 1 week and then there's Houston. It's not his, and then it's funny how it wound up working out that, okay, his return, his debut with the Browns is going to be in Houston here. But the NFL got what they wanted in that it's longer than 6 games and in that big fine, the financial hit, because they really, which is crazy, they were not happy with how the Browns structured that contract, but the NFL is the one who signed off on it. So talking about both sides of your mouth, it is good for everybody, I think, that this thing's going to go away because it's just been hanging over. But Deshaun Watson's going to, every time he goes somewhere, every week there's going to be people that are booing him and cussing him, and it's going to take a while for it to go away. But at least for us, the weight of what's going to happen is going to be gone.
So, Mike, I want to clarify something real quick. When you were talking about the league didn't want him playing in Houston, you didn't mean like week 12 or week 13, whatever it is. Did you mean last year when he was kind of sitting out awkwardly? What did you mean?
When they were talking about optics of when he returned from his suspension, originally in the settlement talks, they wanted it to be like a 12-game suspension so that way the Houston return wouldn't even be a storyline. But eventually, whatever concessions, maybe his team agreed, we'll pay more money so that way we can come back sooner. And the league was like, okay, fine. You know, everybody had to give up something. And it just, you know, now the NFL is going to benefit from the ratings of, oh, Deshaun Watson coming back against, you know, where else but Houston, you know.
Wow. Mike, great. Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
And enjoy the rest
of
the preseason. There's Mike Jones, USA Today, on Grant and Danny. Let's sneak in Roman in Maryland, who's been waiting patiently, wants to talk running backs with us. Roman, we appreciate the call. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How you guys doing?
We're chilling,
good
man.
Buddy.
We're good.
Good, good, good. Listen, I've been listening to the show, and it seems like we have the three-year itch here in Washington, whether it becomes Ron Rivera, whether it comes to Antonio Gibson, and now we're starting to talk about Chase Young. I just think we all need to take a deep breath, relax. We're moving in the right direction. I mean, just, granted, Gibson's fumbles are a problem, but I'm not ready to give Robinson just the torch right now. So I think
can I ask you about the three-year itch thing?
Yes,
I don't know what the itch is. I mean, when I ask about Rivera, I don't want him fired. You know, I just think we need to have a conversation. It's year three. I mean, in the NFL, that's not overnight. In the case
he himself
of Gibson,
said we need to start stepping up and winning here.
Gibson led the league in fumbles last season, and in the second carry this preseason, he fumbled. We shouldn't acknowledge that.
We're talking about a guy that we mentioned stats wise, how many receiving yards he got, and he also rushed for 1,000 yards each of his first two years.
He rushed for 1,000 yards the first time last year, but he was fourth in carry, so he should have rushed for 1,000 yards. He averaged four yards per carry, which is not particularly impressive.
Yeah. Well, listen, I politely disagree with you. I think he's our guy. I think we need to be a little bit more patient with him. I do think he came in with the random mindset, and the worst possible thing, granted, was him fumbling the first game, but I'm not ready to give up on him just yet.
I understand that. I think a lot of people agree with you. He is very popular with the fan base, I will say. I mean, people really, really like him. I think it's two things, honestly. I think, number one, the idea of him is awesome.
The idea is so sexy.
When you draft a speedster wide receiver in college and convert him to running back, I was with you guys. That's scintillating. That's an awesome idea. That's a really fun thing. So that's part of it. And then we are in a fantasy world now where the amount of fantasy people that just put him over for 2 years running about how great he was going to be, also because they love the idea of this wide receiver in college who turned into a running back, I think really made him a star in those circles. But he did rush for 1,000 yards last year. So fans see, wait, seven guys in the whole league did that, and he's one of them? What are you talking about? It's like the equivalent, honestly, of a quarterback throwing for 30 touchdowns. But the point is, yeah, but he didn't have a very good season. Like, he threw a lot of picks, and he missed a lot of plays. And there's more to it than the fact that he ran for 1,000 yards. Yes, he was seventh in rushing yards. He was fourth in attempts. When you get the most at-bats, you might also have the most hits. It doesn't mean your batting average is high. He's like a .211 hitter, and people are going, well, he was first on the team in hits. Like, yeah, he had 600 at-bats. No one else had more than 400. So I think there is a disconnect between the performance and kind of the profile or the reality of it. The production and how he's viewed. But
he was 37th in the league in yards per carry. 37th with a good offensive line last year. He got opportunity doesn't necessarily mean excellence, right? Nobody else took the carries from him. And you saw what happened when other guys, when he was banged up or missed time, other guys were just as productive when running the football. And I'm not suggesting to cut him. I don't want him banished to Siberia. I'm saying you may have a better option down in, down out early on. And I want to find that out. I happen to think so. I'm not writing it in stone. I'm not coming down from the mountain with some carvings here. I'd like to see. But I think we've overrated Gibson an awful lot here in this fan base. I think that's the point.
So, the part I pushed out back on is this idea of like this three-year itch. Like, oh, you guys are being unfair. No. These are real conversations. We're going in the right direction. He fumbled in one of his four carries last week. Is that the right direction? I think he had four carries for 3 yards or something like that in the game. How dare you question him? He fumbled an average minus 1 yard or whatever it was. Like, I don't even make a lot out of the preseason, right? The fumble is what I care about, not the carries or the yards or any of that. But my point is just to say, what are we basing the we're going in the right direction thing on? Hey, you got this itch. You're asking about Ron Rivera. Why are you doing that? We're going in the right direction. Well, actually, their winning percentage went down from his first year to his second year. Now, I happen to explain that away as saying the first year they played a really easy schedule with easier quarterbacks, and the second year they didn't necessarily. But my point is, what do we mean? And I said he averaged 4 yards per carry last year. He didn't. He averaged 3.6. Jarrett Patterson had a better average per carry than him. Jonathan Williams had a better average per carry than him. J.D. McKissick had a better average per carry than him. So, it just those are the numbers. I mean, that's not an opinion. 800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny. You want to hop in on the RBs. I just saw this from Doug Kide of Pro Football Focus. He's got Deshaun Watson quote that he actually said out loud to reporters next to the Deshaun Watson statement that was issued by Deshaun Watson on his behalf and the differences, and they're pretty incredible. You know, the prepared statement that, like, your attorney puts out for you that supposedly you wrote and then what he actually said to reporters. So I think it could be interesting to just read both of those side by side next. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan. Welcome back, and thanks much for listening to the show. All right, Danny, I'm going to read you the Deshaun Watson actual comments to reporters next to the statement from him, supposedly, that was put out on his behalf. So which one do you want to hear first?
I want to hear the written statement first. Written statement.
I'm grateful that the disciplinary process has ended, and extremely appreciative of the tremendous support I have received throughout my short time with the Browns organization. I apologize once again for any pain this situation has caused. I take accountability for the decisions I made. My focus going forward is on working to become the best version of myself on and off the field and supporting my teammates, however possible, while I'm away from the team. I'm excited about what the future holds for me in Cleveland. End quote. I go back to, I take accountability from the decisions I made there as doing some heavy lifting. This was the comment he then made to reporters at about the same time as that statement dropped. I have always stood on my innocence and have always said that I've never assaulted anyone or disrespected anyone, and I'm continuing to stand on that. But at the same time, I have to continue to move on with my life and my career. And for us to be able to move forward, I have to be able to take steps and put pride to the side. I'm going to continue to stand on my innocence and keep pushing forward. I've always stood on not disrespecting or sexually assaulting anyone.
Those are different.
There's no mention in his written statement that was sent out on his behalf that was directly from Watson, obviously, about his innocence. And there's no mention of how he never assaulted anyone or disrespected anyone. But he reiterated that several times when talking with the media today.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It's the when you've got time and you could write down the right words, because that written statement, although again it's all PR words.
You think he wrote down
like
those
that.
Words?
Well, who knows? I'm sure he saw.
Bet you there was probably an attorney who might have been helping out there.
Yeah, somebody on as part of the team. But you know those things ring hollow. But it at least sounds like it sounds adjacent to the right things, right? Words like remorse, words like accountability, words like, you know, pain. Hey, you're acknowledging that something that wasn't ideal took place and that you were the root cause of it. Yes, we all kind of have that. And then you stand up there. First of all, I'm innocent. I don't know what you guys are talking about. I don't know. I mean, listen, if you want to maintain your innocence, maintain your innocence. But when you have two different statements, the verbal and the written, it doesn't come out looking as good.
Let's go to Brandon in Waldorf on Grant and Danny. Brandon, we appreciate you hopping aboard on G&D. How are you?
Great. How are you guys doing today?
Doing well, man.
Hey, buddy.
All right. I was calling in reference to the conversation you all had about Gibson. And long story short was I actually talked to you guys a few months back, and I told you I think Gibson is not the right back for this team, just off the strength that you draft him as a receiver, you play him as a back. Maybe it's best if they put him out wide out to strengthen the wide receiver core, and because most of the passes go to J.D. McKissick anyway. Brian Robinson's a true running back. I mean, there's always a spot for him, but I think they need to change his role or it's time to start looking elsewhere because this Christian McCaffrey 2.0 experiment with him has failed miserably.
Appreciate you, dude. I think it's too late now, right? I mean, I know Lorenzo Alexander changed his body every 6 months to play a different position, but that's kind of the freak occurrence, right? That's the one of the more miraculous things that we never talk about. Gibson's now running back style athlete, you know, whether it's the bulk, whether it's the quickness or otherwise, I don't see him as a viable receiver, even a slot guy or anything else. He's kind of turned into, you know, kind of that Adrian Peterson body, like that big hulking running back. And I don't happen to think he's particularly great at it. I think he's replacement level, but I don't know, man. I don't know if a position switch is going to do it. Just finding a way to maximize what he is in terms of a scheme and fit. They seem determined to have this between the tackles downhill thumper as kind of the focal point of their running game. It's not how I would do it, but it's certainly how they want to do it. And it seems to me maybe they have a better version of that in Brian Robinson.
I remember the day that Adrian Peterson was released. I think it was during training camp, if memory serves, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And he called into our show that day. And I remember asking him, it was when we were doing COVID shows still because I was in my basement. And I asked him about Antonio Gibson. And at that time, I had seen very little of him because there was no access at practices or anything like that, really. And I basically, I don't remember the specifics, but I was like, hey, is this guy, like, give me an NFL running back. And I'm asking, is he going to be able to run between the tackles or is it strictly going to be like some speed stuff outside with some pass catching? And he's like, oh, no. He's like, have you seen him? I'm like, not as a running back. He's like, dude, he's gained a lot of weight from when you saw him as a receiver. He's a power back, like legitimately a power back. And I'm paraphrasing
his
answer.
We were like, wait, what?
But yeah. We were really surprised, I remember. And he basically said the stuff that he's going to have to learn is a lot of the other stuff. They're like, what he's best at right now is running between the tackles. And we were kind of shocked by that. And then we saw him, and sure enough, he was a thumper. He was physical. He had gone through a transformation. He ran with good balance and some body lean, and he fell forward, but he was a strong guy. And, again, this is not a beat-up Antonio Gibson session. He's an NFL running back. He's one of seven guys in the league that ran for 1,000 last year. He was one of the top four carry-getters in the National Football League. Like, these are good things. They drafted a guy in the third round who's turned into someone who will help them. If I'm calling the shots, he makes the team. He plays every week. He's involved. I'm putting stuff together for him. There's going to be plenty of weeks you're riding the hot hand where he has a great game and he's seeing things well and he gets the most carries. I mean, we saw him on Thanksgiving against Dallas light them up for 3 touchdowns, a couple of long touchdowns. We've seen a few big 100-plus yard performances where he rips some runs off. He is capable of those things. On a down-in, down-out basis over the course of the season, though, my point since they drafted Brian Robinson was, I'll be interested to see if there's a gap between these two guys. And by him fumbling in the first preseason game, it has completely opened the door now for Robinson to be able to try to take some carries away. How many carries that is, I'm not sure.
TBD.
But yeah. I think that we now have a competition where a week ago at this time, Gibson was the starter. McKissick was the third down guy and receiver. And Robinson was the third option who was just kind of waiting for an opportunity. I think more so than any other position, the gap closed this past week.
I think that's a great way to put it, Grant. Because if you'd asked me a few weeks ago, I'd be like, I got some intrigue on Robinson. And maybe at some point this year, you know, it's a hot hand situation where he might have more carries in a game than Gibson, et cetera. I think everything got flipped on its head with that 4-carry for 2-yard plus a fumble performance from Gibson in the first preseason game. I really do. I think it went from a potential, you know, a position battle to a full-on 100% winner-take-all heading into the regular season position battle. You know what I mean? I thought this would be something that emerged over time with Gibson getting, you know, first, second, third, fourth, fifth chances. I don't know that that's the case anymore.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. This is The Fan. We're with you until 6:30 tonight, a little under an hour to go. We're going to set the table for the Nats and the Padres. We're also going to preview Monday Night Football tonight as well. It's going to be the B team on the broadcast. We got Levy and Riddick. Riddick does an awesome job. I really, really like Louis Riddick. But we will not get Joe Buck and Troy Aikman yet. We're not going to see the A-teamers.
We don't get to see the full Monty yet?
No, I think there's a game Monday night that's going to be real Monday Night Football preseason, and those guys are going to do that game. I think is how they're going to roll out the red carpet and unveil them. But we will preview that game as well. Next, I want to discuss Jason Wright. It has been 2 years. Yesterday, I believe, was the anniversary of his hiring. And I think that's enough time where we could take a little inventory and see areas where they're improving, areas where they can do better, and just kind of figure out what these first couple years of the Jason Wright era have been like on G&D right here on The Fan.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
He's Danny, I'm Grant, this is The Fan. Yesterday marked 2 years of Jason Wright with the Washington Commanders as their team president. He took over for one of the least popular team presidents, not only in D.C. sports that we've ever seen, but in sports, it's hard to have a lower approval rating than Bruce Allen did here. And when he came, like Scott McLuhan, the general manager at one point, and Brian LaFemina, who was here and then gone, he was the white knight riding in on the horse to save us all. And I think everyone was very, very excited. And I've gotten to know Jason a little bit, and I like him a lot as a human being. But there has been some good and plenty of bad over the last couple of years. And I think he knew probably when he took this job, I think we can all agree, you're working for Dan Snyder, you're working for a team that's on team can't get right over the last 30 years.
It's uphill and a headwind in molasses. It is.
I mean, the batting average is not going to be 1,000. You are pushing the biggest boulder up the biggest hill. And this has been a reverse car wash for coaches and for quarterbacks and for front office people. And most of the folks that leave here in roles like Jason's end up doing a lot better and more success elsewhere. But having said that, I thought we could just kind of take inventory here a couple of years later as to how we're feeling and what we think so far.
So for me, my most disappointed I've been as a then Redskins fan was the Mike Shanahan era. And the reason was that was the adult. That was going to be the guy that fixed it, and not even that adult could fix it, right? It was every bit as bad when he left as before he came, and so on. I had a similar feeling with Jason Wright. There is no doubt this is a qualified, smart, sharp, worldly individual that has been successful already in life, and when he leaves here, he'll be successful doing something else. The guy is a winner. He has done a lot of great things. His tenure here has been underwhelming at best and at times poor, I would say. There are good things, and they don't probably get enough credit and attention at times. Like, for example, there's a cool fantasy football draft party thing that they're allowing ticket holders to do at FedEx here when it's not being used. Their guys can go and have their draft parties there. I haven't seen that get any publicity. That's a neat thing. There are cool initiatives.
There are little things like that that happen all the time. That you're right. I mean, frankly, every team is doing stuff like that. It's not like it's crazy out of the box or anything like that. But they deserve credit for trying things at the preseason game. I was there on Saturday. I was talking about this on our postgame show. I don't know if it was for every kid in the stands, but there were hundreds of children who were at the game who were down on the field after the game running through cones and throwing balls through little hoops and stuff. And it was kind of a almost like an obstacle course for kids. Like at a baseball game, you'd see the kids run the bases type thing. Like they were doing that. So that's really, really cool and was awesome. And there are things like that they do. That they deserve credit for that have been successful. They have now a little area I was seeing they're promoting. You can buy tickets now down on the field, and you can kind of stand right behind the bench. They've got the new tables you and I really like, the food and drink tables, like in a party area that they've designed now where you can stand there in the end zone. So they're trying some things, and then they deserve credit for that.
Yeah, and you know they just inked a huge sponsorship thing with SeatGeek. That's going to start in a couple of years. That's a business thing. That's under his watch. And, you know, for all the stories about Anheuser-Busch leaving them or other people, you know, not renewing with them, whether it's Inova or otherwise, that's a win for the business department. So, again, it's not to say there's no good, but there have been easily controllable fish-in-a-barrel type wins that they have either botched or, you know, defiantly stood by until enough noise is made that he sends out the apology letter. There is not a single reason why you can unleash a 90 greatest voting thing for Commanders fans in the public where you have a litany of mistakes that would fail you in a high school class. There is no way anything that happens in that sphere is defensible. Completely indefensible. Ridiculous and absurd for a multi-billion dollar organization trying to honor some of the tradition to welcome folks back in would have that many mistakes. And his defense, by the way, was, well, we kind of copied and pasted from somebody else, so maybe they made the mistakes. Again, ridiculous, absurd, unacceptable. The Sean Taylor honoring jersey retirement was slapped together, haphazard, shoddy at best. They claim they planned for it. And then, if that's the result, after the fact, you go, well, we didn't know it was that big of a deal, and I let you guys down. Either you didn't know it was a big deal, and you planned for a long time, or you threw it together, and it was very, very poorly done, and equally poorly received. Those kinds of incidents give you a window into his tenure where you're kind of going, I don't know that this is better. It's better presented. Jason Wright is eloquent and sharp, and I like listening to him talk. But how are we better off now than we would have been before is my question.
Well, I'll take this over the old thing for sure, because I view him as a more approachable, personable, engaged human being, frankly. I mean, I just think that when you have good people around, you have a better chance to do good things. That's kind of where I'm at. And the only way I can describe my interactions with Bruce Allen were, he is a guy that if I walk past him 6 years after knowing him and I said hello, he wouldn't respond with a hello. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Of course it does. Yeah, that's not a good dude. I'm
so,
not saying.
Well, I don't like calling people out personally or talking about their character. I'm just explaining regular circumstances that would take place. Where if you've known someone for close to a decade and you have some interaction with them where you feel like you need to then shake their hand and introduce yourself again? Come on now. Like, Jason Wright is the opposite of that. He's approachable, and I think most people in the media can get a hold of him if they need to and touch base in a way that in a million years couldn't have been the case with Bruce Allen. Now, to your point, if we're just talking about balls and strikes, wins and losses, not on the field but off the field, yeah, I mean, the results maybe aren't that different tangibly with what we see. My guess is that the business side is picking up. That's certainly what they claim. That's what Jason was telling some of the media this week in a little sit-down he had with ticket sales and suites. And that's all great. I don't know how much fans care about that, to be honest. They care about the 90 greatest that you just talked about, the stadium progress or the lack thereof. It feels like there's just no progress being made on the stadium. They couldn't get a vote in Virginia. I don't know where we're at on that. This is a tough week to have this conversation, recency effect, but I thought him going after Scott Abraham was a really, really bad look and a bad decision, and I was disappointed in that. I thought that was he's better than that. So, yeah, and you know, we didn't really get into the name change, the rollout, the crest, the uniform color, some of that stuff. But that's all on the ledger as well. I do think there's some good, too. But I'm just curious what fans think, because I think a lot of us were really hopeful. And I want to know, at 800-636-1067, where you guys are at. We're 2 years in now to this shift. Jason Wright talked a lot this week about how they've spent the last 2 years introducing themselves to the fan base. Now, what are your takeaways so far, and what are your thoughts? 800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.